Well, good morning, everyone. Great to see you all here. Let me wish all of you a happy new year. And let me ask you to please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 93. Psalm 93. I'll pray for us, and then we'll read that together and have a look at what it says to us and how we should live accordingly. Let me pray. Father, amidst all of the highs and the lows that the last year has brought us individually and as families and as a church family, we are thankful that you have been from everlasting to everlasting the same. And we thank you for speaking to your people this past year to teach us, to rebuke us, to correct us, and to train us. And we ask that you would do the same this morning as we gather and study these verses together. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 93 then declares, "The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, he has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established, it shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore." Well, as we look ahead to a brand new year, I wonder what our expectations are for the next 12 months. January is a point which I think allows us to have a fresh breath of optimism. We reflect on the year past. We resolve for the year ahead. We might even dare to believe that last year will be the last time that we see certain things in our lives, in our world. And we might dare to believe that this year coming will be the first time that we see certain things in our lives, in our world. This is the year that I, as an individual, do this. This is the year that I, as an individual, accomplish this. This surely is the year that, as a world, we manage to achieve this. But having said that, I wonder if as we grow older, as we grow wiser to the way that the world is, we realize that this coming year, in all likelihood, things are going to be pretty much the same as they were last year. At least very similar. So if we think back just in the past 5 years, or maybe 2 years, the news in our world and the news in our lives doesn't really seem to be getting better and better. Maybe we're becoming more and more accustomed to the bad news, but things do seem to be getting worse. Even just reflecting back on the previous 12 months, we saw the death of our queen. We saw the deaths of many, many others due to violence. We saw the resignation of two prime ministers. We saw the country plunged into financial instability. Fuel and energy costs are on the rise. We've seen the ongoing oppression of women in Iran and in other parts of the world. We've seen war ravage the country of Ukraine. We've seen continued political division in this country, in the US, across the whole world. We've seen a World Cup shrouded by news of corruption and human loss. I could go on. Small wonder the word permacrisis was created and chosen by Collins as their dictionary word of the year. Permacrisis. But the permacrisis isn't just out there, is it? See, within the four walls of our own lives, the lives of our loved ones, the lives of our family members, there are plenty of reasons to be fearful as we look ahead to the year 2023. Some of us, I'm sure, will be facing health issues, relationship issues, employment issues. And as we sit here, if we're being honest with ourselves, we'll be dreading the year that's to come. There might just be that lingering feeling that 2023 will be just the same as 2022. And if you're a Christian sat here this morning, then you will know that the correct response at this moment is to say, "The Lord reigns," and to trust in him. But if we're being honest with ourselves, at times it can feel like we're trying to persuade ourselves that it's true, rather than knowing and believing with certainty that it is. Well, wonderfully, the words of our psalm this morning draw us back to our unchanging, all-powerful, almighty God who reigns eternally and globally, even through the chaos, even through the perma-crisis that we feel in our lives and that we see on our screens. We've jumped into a small collection of psalms this morning which repeat for us the same theme of the universal reign of the sovereign Lord. These psalms tell us that his kingship is forever. These psalms tell us that he will come to judge the nations of the earth. These psalms tell us that his people are called upon to acknowledge him as king, to bend the knee gladly, to bend the knee willingly before him, before his throne. And that's how our psalm begins in those first two verses that we read out. This is the first thing for us to learn this morning. The Lord reigns eternally and globally. The Lord reigns eternally and globally. So verse 1, he is the Lord. He is the covenant-making, promise-keeping God who reveals himself to his people by name. He is the God who makes a people for himself, who keeps and guards and protects a people for himself, who demonstrates his goodness, who demonstrates his faithfulness time and time again, even when his people waver. Even when his people do not obey, waver in their own obedience. Our psalmist is very enthusiastic about our Lord's faithfulness. And he's very enthusiastic about how our Lord is robed. Often you can tell someone's intentions by how they present themselves before you, by the way that they appear. Think perhaps of a king riding into war or a king being crowned on his throne. The way that that king robes himself, perhaps with a crown, perhaps with a sword, perhaps with armor, that would show everyone watching that this king is to be taken seriously, that we would be wrong to take this king lightly, that we would be wrong to underestimate the power that this king holds. And here we see in verse 1, the Lord is robed in majesty. He has put on strength as his belt. See, the way that the Lord is robed here demonstrates very clearly that he alone is the Lord. He is the king ready to defend his people. And he reigns with majesty and he reigns with strength. The way he is robed communicates very clearly that he rules with splendor and he rules with power. And the psalmist is also very enthusiastic about the extent of the Lord's reign and the duration of the Lord's reign as well. So in verse 1, we read that the world is established. It shall never be moved. And then in verse 2, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The Lord has the whole world in his hands. He is the universal king of creation. We have never seen anything in our lives or in our world that God did not create. The matter, the molecules that make up our bodies and the stars, they all bear his fingerprints and they all sit under his reign. And that's how history began. It's how history has been ever since. We read that the Lord's throne is established from of old. There has never been a moment where that whole world, the whole of creation, has slipped out of his hands, even for a moment. His reign of strength and of majesty is from old, everlasting. Now, it's easy for us, I think, when we think about our history, our recent history, and our not-so-recent history. When we think about the whole globe, it's easy, I think, for us to doubt that verses 1 and 2 could ever be true. We might see so much that would provide ample evidence or ammunition for us to think that God might have been dethroned or fallen asleep on the job. And yet instead in these verses we hear the wonderfully reassuring yet commanding voice of the Lord telling us that there is nothing that can dethrone him, nor is there anywhere that he cannot reach, nor is there anything that would ever catch him by surprise or off guard. Nothing that I faced this year, nothing that I faced last year, is fiercer than the Lord who loves and keeps his people. So when I lost a loved one this year, or I lost my job this year, or I felt the sting of ill health, or I felt the loneliness that comes with being in a certain part of life, or I felt the presence of sin in my heart, it all happened within the confines of his eternal global reign. He did not lose control. He reigned even in these moments. See, I don't need to keep on reciting that the Lord reigns in order to fool myself or trick myself into believing that it's true. These first two verses teach me and reteach me as I read them that it is true. His reign is true. And so I continue to trust in him, even in the midst of all that I see around about me. He is mightier. Which leads us nicely on to our second point this morning. So we've seen in the first two verses that the Lord reigns eternally and globally. And now we see in the next two verses, verses 3 and 4, that the Lord reigns in the face of chaos. The Lord reigns in the face of chaos. So look with me at verse 3. The psalmist says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea is the Lord." Mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. So in the psalm, we go from the steadiness and the stability of the Lord's rule over all that we see to the unsteady, unstable, roaring waters and waves of the world in which we live. So earlier on, when we were thinking about what happened last year, one of the things that I didn't mention was the flooding that took place at various different points throughout the year in various different parts of the world, places such as Pakistan and Nigeria. You might have even missed it entirely given everything else that was happening in the headlines. So for example, flooding in India washed away thousands of homes and took the lives of nearly 2,000 people, 1,739. Likewise, in Nigeria, during monsoon season, at least 612 Nigerian lives were lost as a result of flooding and landslides. The same thing happened in Brazil, South Africa, Afghanistan, as well as other countries. You might also have missed Storm Megi or Typhoon Megi hitting the Philippines in April. Huge waves crashing continuously into the island, claiming well over 200 lives. See, the truth is, as frail humanity, nothing can be done to avoid the wild, untamable power of the sea. And rather appropriately, the author of Psalm 93 uses that to illustrate the power of the chaos that we face in our world. It happens throughout the Bible. The sea is often used to represent the chaotic forces that are opposed to the Lord and threaten his people. Sin, evil. And so the floods in our psalm this morning roar loudly and defiantly against the Lord and against his rule. And they're a threat to the psalmist, and they're a threat to us this morning as we listen in. See, the psalmist knows, as well as we do, how fierce, how relentless the floods and the waves of life can feel, and how helpless we feel in face of the floods and the waves that come our way. Time and time again, as his people. The world can be so chaotic and messy, riddled with the wounds of the rampant and raging sin and evil that we see. It feels as if the waves hit us endlessly, one after the other, and as we shake the water of the first wave off our face, the next one hits us. Now, I think there's a refreshing honesty here in these verses. It's not an admission of a lack of trust in God to admit that our lives are hit time and time again with the waves of the world, the darkness of the world in which we live, the sinfulness of our own hearts. Psalm 93 knows that the assault of sin, darkness, evil, that is our lived experience every single day as God's people. Comfort for the Christian does not come in pretending otherwise, as if we were to gloss over our pain, sugarcoat the world until we feel better about ourselves. Psalm 93 won't let us do that. Instead, Psalm 93 gives us permission to acknowledge that our world is in desperate need of rescue, that our lives are incredibly hard, that we are in desperate need of salvation. And yet the wonderful good news of Psalm 93 is that we meet the one who is, verse 4, mightier. Mightier than the thunders of many waters. They are loud and they are fierce, and we are indeed frail in face of the sin, evil, and chaos. But the Lord is not frail. Comfort for the Christian does not come from ignoring or minimizing the chaos, but by knowing the Lord who is stronger, by knowing the Lord who is mightier. See, the fight between the Lord and the floods and the waters is not a fair fight. He is mightier, so much mightier. In fact, so much mightier that when we fast forward to Mark chapter 4, which was read out for us earlier on, when Jesus lies asleep on the boat with his disciples, he is able to stand up and rebuke the roaring floods and the thunders of many waters with just a mere word. Quiet, he says. Be still, he says. He silences the chaos of the world by just a word. Who is this? The disciples ask afterwards. Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Well, the majestic, strong, and mighty Lord of Psalm 93. That's who this man is. That's who our Savior is. See, for God's people, salvation from the chaotic forces of our world, salvation from the chaotic forces of sin and evil and darkness, that salvation belongs to the Lord. It's not to be found within ourselves. It's to be found in the Lord who reigns in the face of chaos. Now, as the psalm holds the global and eternal reign of the Lord right next to the chaos that we experience in our world and in our lives, we should do the same. See, the psalm doesn't have a problem with holding these two things together. The psalmist doesn't have a problem with holding these two things in tension, and neither should we. In the midst of his rule, the psalm would have us understand that we will not yet be liberated fully from the waters and the roaring floods. But the day will come. The day will come when Christ returns. We might be able to, at the moment, look back on the year 2022 and see real moments of the Lord's provision, see real moments of him intervening in our lives, see real moments of his care and his rescue, and rejoice and be glad that that happened. But the day will come only in the future, when we will see the full might of the Lord as he comes to silence the waters and the floods once and for all. That is the promise of Psalm 93 for us today and for eternity. So important for us to understand that in these moments where we face floods and waters, the Lord is not wringing his hands with uncertainty, wondering what on earth to do. Instead, as we've just been celebrating at Christmas, that mighty Lord stepped into our world. He stepped into our world to experience the floods and the waters himself, to ensure that his people would one day be eternally rescued from it all, to give us the promise of hope and peace with him. So Psalm 93 shows me that this year will be difficult, and we must expect it to be. But because he is mightier, he can and he will give his people, so generously give his people, all that they need to continue to trust in him, to endure to the end, and then one day reign with him. The Lord reigns in the face of chaos. Thirdly then, and with our remaining time this morning, the Lord reigns in the world through his word. The Lord reigns in the world through his word. Read verse 5 with me. Your decrees are very trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. See, amidst the chaos of a fallen world, here is where the psalmist sees and knows with certainty that the Lord is mightier. It's not the roar of the floods that the psalmist listens to. Instead, it's the trustworthy decrees of the Lord that is mightier that he listens to. Amidst the turbulence of the roaring floods and the rising waters, the psalmist takes great delight in the decrees of the Lord. We learn even more about the Lord's strength. We learn even more about the Lord's majesty. We learn more about his might over the forces that oppose him as we study the trustworthy decrees of the Lord who speaks to us. And the psalmist says that living in step with the Lord's decrees, listening to his trustworthy decrees in the midst of all of the chaos that we feel, that is a befitting way to live. They are as vital for all of God's people at any point throughout history, when the psalm was written and us sitting here this morning. Different waters may threaten us over the next year, but the promise of Psalm 93 is that we can trust in the unchanging decrees, the trustworthy words of the Lord Almighty. And God's people have the huge blessing of reliance upon his words to live a life of holiness in the midst of chaos, to live a life that looks more and more like Jesus, to live a life that reflects the holiness that we have been given by him. It's such good news to know that in a chaotic world where less and less seems to make sense, where increasingly up is down and down is up, the dependable decrees of the Lord will always sustain and nourish the Lord's people and encourage them to live a life that reflects the holiness that we have been given. The trustworthy decrees of the Lord equip and enable the Lord's people to express the righteousness that we ought to express, even in moments when we're squeezed by the evil and the pressures of the world that we live in. Psalm 93 doesn't seem to think that the Lord's words are austere. Psalm 93 does not think that listening to the Lord's word is an oppressive thing to do, or just extra weight on our backs as we face a difficult year. Psalm 93 does not lament the Lord's rule in the life of his people, but sees God's decrees as good, necessary, dependable, and as eternally and globally trustworthy as the Lord is himself. They would show all of us how to live a life that befits the people of God as we bend the knee before him. Not washed away by the waters of the world, but a life instead that knows the strength, the majesty, and the might of the Lord. It's why, as a church family, together, when we collectively face the floods mentioned in Psalm 93, we will certainly love one another, we'll show compassion for one another, we'll provide practical help for one another right the way through everything that we face this year. But above all of that, we will share the trustworthy decrees of the Lord with one another. They are a non-negotiable part of us living in a world that would ask us to be washed along by its streams, by its floods. We will insist upon hearing from the Lord every single week, delighting in his trustworthy decrees, asking him to help us live a holy life that befits his people. And so as the psalm draws to a close, if we do look back on the weekend, if we look back on the past few months, if we look at the year of 2022 as a whole, and we feel a tinge of sadness, or we feel the regret that comes with the times when we haven't listened to the Lord's decrees, when we have thought that the floods and the waters of the world might actually just have the upper hand over the Lord, we must not feel hopeless. Psalm 93 is a song of hope for now, for the future, and for eternity. It's an invitation for the believer in the strength of the Lord and the strength that God supplies to listen to his words, to live out his words, even in the face of chaos. Not to listen to the roar of the world, but instead to listen to the reliable words of the Lord, who is seated in majesty, seated in strength, and seated in power over all things. So regardless of what the year 2022 felt like, it was his. It was his year. Our lives were his. Regardless of what the year 2023 will feel like, it's his. Our lives are his. And I'm excited for us as a church to see the ways in which we will know more and more deeply as the weeks go by and as the months go by that he rules over our world eternally, globally. And so we delight in his decrees in the face of all the chaos that we see. Let me pray for us now that we'll do that together as a church family and as individuals. The Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed, he has put on strength as his belt. Father, we thank you so much for the way that you rule and reign over all things. Father, we thank you that your word gives us absolutely no reason to doubt, and instead plenty of reason to be assured and confident this morning that as we face the year to come, things will be hard, but you do reign. Thank you, Father, that in Christ, he has stepped into our world to rescue us from the consequences of all the times that we've turned away from you. And one day we will know that fully in a world that will be free from the floods and the waters that we face. Help us, Father, to look forward to that day. Help us to yearn for that day. And help us in the meantime to listen carefully to your trustworthy decrees and to live a life of holiness. Give us the strength that we need to do this for your glory and in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we sing our last song this morning, certain things that we cannot be sure about, certain things that we cannot tell, but then lots of things that we know. Let's stand and sing as the band leads us.